And ask staff to just give us a brief history of where we are today on the bill, please.
Okay. Chairman Strobeck, members of the committee, what you have before you is an A engrossed House Bill 2045. And what the A engrossed has is it's replaced the original bill. The original bill that the House passed was a tax collector's bill. And now this is going has to do with logging, environmentally sensitive logging equipment, and giving an exemption for that. And so what I have like the major points summarized on a sheet here. And basically what you have is in Section 3, a definition of environmentally sensitive logging equipment, which is logging equipment that is less than 8 years old and it's exempt from property taxation. This does create a different treatment of logging equipment depending on the age of the equipment. There also is a definition of logging equipment, which is just machinery and equipment used in logging and forestry management. It also includes excavators used in logging road construction maintenance and improvements of existing roads. But it does, logging equipment definition does exclude any machinery where 20% or more of the operating hours of the equipment is on non-forest applications. And at this point, it seems like from talking with a few counties, it might be kind of difficult for them to assess the amount of time that this equipment actually is used in non-forest related activities. Also, the other thing that's exempt from logging equipment definition is equipment used in manufacturing or milling of forest products. This bill is applied to tax years on or after July 1st of 2000 and before July 1st of 2008, so there's a sunset of 2008 on this exemption. And in Section 5, it allows the tax exemption for at least 5 years on all logging equipment that will meet the criteria of environmentally sensitive logging equipment that is 8 years or younger in age. So if it meets that criteria for 1 year, then it will be allowed an exemption for 5 years between July 1st, 2000 and July 1st, 2006. And I know in talking with some of the counties in the survey, some counties told me that they don't always keep the actual age of the equipment, especially if a logger has purchased the equipment used. And many times will just keep the real market value and then they will depreciate it year after year. So they know how many years the logger has had that equipment, but they may not know exactly when it was manufactured. Then in Section 6, it exempts from property taxation the following logging equipment that's already considered environmentally sensitive, and that's like a skyline yarder and carriage. And in Section 7, it begins that exemption on July 1st of 2000 and again has the sunset of 2008. And the final section, which got put in at the end on the Senate side, was that the owner of a gas station shall post a sign displaying the amount of federal, state, and local taxes per gallon of gas. Now, with this amendment in the Senate side, now with House Bill 2045, you have a revenue impact of approximately $2.2 million a year, I estimated from a survey of 22 different counties. And in that, I used a tax rate that it did not include the city's tax rate. And it you've got about 55% of that, which are school taxes, and then the county is the other big person or big taxing district that is going to be affected by this. But most counties have some forest land in it. And with the survey, I will just say that it was hard at that time to really get from counties, you know, at the time the first bill was, it was environmentally sensitive logging equipment were 10 years or younger. So I really didn't try to get from the counties what was the age of the different accounts. So they just gave me all the logging equipment. And so this could be an overestimate, but it also does not include any leased equipment that could be that could come on off the roll due to this bill, because this bill allows any logging equipment. It doesn't matter whether it's leased equipment or not. And this will create an incentive for loggers to upgrade their equipment in order to receive the tax exemption, but you are going to get this difference in, you know, you'll be increasing the demand and price for this new logging equipment, but you should be decreasing the demand and price for that older logging equipment. And it seems like eventually people will, loggers will want to, you know, at least have 1 year in which the logging equipment is 7 years or younger in order to be able to qualify for the 5-year exemption, no matter if it's 8 years or not in age.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Campbell or Mr. Miller, can you give us the reason for this bill?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Mike Miller, Executive Vice President of Associated Oregon Loggers. And I might just mention that two sessions ago, a measure similar to this, although broader in scope, did pass both houses. In fact, I think there were only two negative votes on the House side. But at that time, the governor did not see eye to eye with that need. And you might also know that agricultural equipment has been exempt since 1973. I think assessors probably also have a little bit of trouble trying to find out how much of the time farming equipment is used outside of farming operations compared with in. So they apparently have been able to resolve that problem. So I would think they might be able to do it in this particular case too. Since the session where this was passed, certainly economic conditions for loggers really haven't improved. And the other thing that we have added is the listing of numerous species of fish around the state, which are going to call for additional protection as far as logging operations in these watersheds. Back in February, we talked to the governor. The governor was in Eugene to talk to the Oregon Logging Conference. And he told the loggers at the time that they had suffered some pretty severe economic conditions back in the early 80s with the recession that we had. And then on top of that, starting with the 90s, the reduction in federal harvests with the Northwest Forest Plan. And then the most recent challenge that they faced had to do with meeting the requirements of logging operations in sensitive watersheds to protect those watersheds and salmon. And he was amenable to working with us, trying to find a way to allow loggers to transition to more environmentally friendly logging equipment. And I might say that we looked at different ways to define that equipment, talking about specific pieces of equipment that was designed to do, you know, to be lighter on the land, to suspend logs and that sort of thing. And it became so complex that the governor's office agreed that with our original concept that the age criteria was probably best, with the theory being that newer equipment has been upgraded to meet these environmental conditions. We also talked to Oregon State with their logging specialist trying to find out their definition also, and they thought it was originally 10 years, but in negotiations with the counties, we took that down to an 8-year period. As was mentioned by the committee administrator, this provision would sunset at the end of 8 years. And again, that started out at 10 years, and we negotiated with Associated Oregon Counties on numerous provisions of this bill, trying to at least remove their opposition. And they did testify at the on the Senate side a week ago Monday that they did not oppose the bill. They don't support it, but they do not oppose it. And I think some of the consideration is here is that if we can keep loggers working in these counties, and by the way, there have been about 30% of the contractors in the state go out of business over the last 8 or 9 years. If we can keep these people working and they can meet the challenge of protecting our watersheds and salmon, then we'll all be better off, including the counties in that regard. I think probably most of us know, and this was a big topic of discussion when this bill was up a couple of sessions ago, that while there have been a great number of contractors go out of business, logging contractors in the state, and that's been one of the kind of the backbone industries, while that was happening, counties and cities, on the other hand, were giving out tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in tax incentives to attract new businesses. And certainly diversification is the way to go. But our concern is that maybe that we ought to provide some sort of an economic and environmental assistance to the logging contractors. So with that, I'd be glad to try to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Any questions? Thanks a lot. Appreciate the history and background. Somebody from the counties want to comment on the bill? Bob or Tom? Or both?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Bob Cantine with the Association of Oregon Counties. I was not the person involved in this. From our staff, Gil Riddell was, but he's unavailable at this time, so I'll speak for the association. And as you know, in these situations dealing with tax exemptions, we get caught in a position where the legislature is spending directly our local tax dollar, and that's kind of a difficult thing to deal with for us. We've found at least a partial remedy to that in House Bill 2039, which you've passed through both houses now without a dissenting vote, I guess, in either house. And I hope that in the future that'll help us deal with these a little more equitably in a way. But having said that, the bottom line is we ended up negotiating with the logging companies to reach a point where we felt the bill came closer to achieving what their objectives were, what was the stated purpose and intent of the bill itself. And having reached that agreement, we've agreed not to oppose it, with the knowledge that we will have an opportunity to look at it again in 8 years and see if its purpose is still valuable at that time.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tom Linhares. I represent the Oregon State Association of County Assessors. I presented a list of concerns or comments on the bill that I'd worked up previously, and I think I updated it with the recent changes. I should point out that on the second page, Section 5, I talked to Dexter Johnson just before the hearing, and he pointed out my lack of understanding how statutes are written, and he thinks it's fine, there isn't a problem, so I'll... I guess I would take away the comments on Section 5. To address a couple things that Lizbeth said, we normally keep the model year. I've given a couple of examples that are real-world examples from two different personal property returns from Columbia County. And so in both these cases, we have the model year. If a county does not have the model year or there's other information that the county would not have to make a determination, the courts have determined that property tax exemptions should be, quote, strictly construed, unquote, which has a very definite legal meaning. Simply put, it means they only get the exemption if it's absolutely clear that they qualify. So I guess what county assessors would be inclined to do is, if there's any ambiguity, they don't have the model year, they don't know enough information to determine whether it qualifies under Section 6, skyline, yarder, and carriage, then the assessor would tax that piece of property, and it would be up to the property owner to provide additional information, which would convince the assessor that it should be exempt. So I think that's the way it would work. Farm equipment is somewhat different. It's all exempt, and so normally we don't even get returns from the farmers. This is a little bit more difficult to administer in that we will have to get the return. Some of the property will be taxable, some of it will be exempt, and we'll just have to work through that. But I think it's doable.
Thank you very much. Any questions for these gentlemen? Okay. Thank you. Well, the chair moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments dated July 14th and that the bill be repassed. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Senator Perry Oates.
Aye.
Senator Wiles.
Aye.
Representative King.
Aye.
Representative Welch.
Aye.
Chair Starr.
Aye.
Chair Skelbach.
Aye. House Bill 2045, Conference Committee Report, will move forward with a pass recommendation. I have a carrier on the Senate side, Representative Senator Ferrioli. We'd like to carry it on the House side. Al, do you want to?
We're concurring on our amendment.
Or Representative Paul.
I'll be more than happy to.
I'll be glad to.
Okay, we'll ask Representative King to carry the bill.
I'll defer to Senator Wild.
Oh, we don't want to have a Senate disagreement here on the conference committee. Okay, Senator Wild. Senator Wild will carry the bill.
How would you eat?
We have some.
No, we don't need to repass on the Senate side.
Well, that's true.
Concurrent.
We're
going to
concur.
No.
Right.
We just need to take care of our work.
But do stay around here for the signing of the papers. And Minister. Thank you. Thank you.